I'm grateful for the opportunity to hear Minister Robert Douglas Nicholson in a video address this morning and thank him on behalf of all of us. He's got a busy week, as you can imagine, so he's addressing us via video. But he did very much want to contribute to the meeting and to present some of the compelling facts within the Canadian justice system and citing the proposed legislation in that context. Let me just introduce him very briefly, and then we'll get on to hearing him. He's Minister of Justice and Attorney General of Canada, MP for the riding of Niagara Falls, elected to the House of Commons in 1984 through 1993, and has served in a variety of capacities, including Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Justice and Attorney General, and Minister for Science and Small Business. Lifelong resident of Niagara Falls, a practicing lawyer, and very active in municipal politics. Holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from Queen's University and law degree from the University of Windsor. And without further ado, then, we'll turn to the address from the Minister. Thank you.
Mesdames et Messieurs, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Government of Canada, I'm pleased to bring greetings to everyone participating in this conference. J'aimerais remercier les organisateurs de cet événement de m'avoir invité à m'adresser à vous. Even though I cannot be there in person, I appreciate the opportunity to address the important issues of crime and justice in Canada. I applaud your commitment to improving the criminal justice system. 2012 marks the start of my sixth year as Canada's Minister of Justice and Attorney General. I'm honored to have played a role in the Government of Canada's work to protect Canadians and make our communities safer. According to a 2010 study, more than 7.4 million Canadians became victims of crime in the year 2009 alone. Only 1.5% of these Canadians were able to access victim services. There can be no true justice if people fear for their safety and security. The same can be said about victims of crime who feel they have no voice in the justice system. Our government has accomplished a great deal to improve and streamline the criminal justice system. We have made these changes in consultation with experts and practitioners in the fields, such as law enforcement officials, my provincial and territorial counterparts, victims of crime and their families, and Canadians from all walks of life. Based on what we heard, we have acted. Just recently, we introduced the Safe Streets and Communities Act. This bill proposes increased penalties for sexual offenses against children. It also creates two new offenses aimed at conduct that could facilitate or enable the commission of a sexual offense against a child. These measures are instrumental in protecting our children, especially considering that in 2010, child pornography offenses were up by more than 30%. Our government has been clear. Those who possess, distribute, or produce child pornography are committing horrific crimes and should be punished to the full extent of the law. We've targeted organized crime by imposing tougher sentences for producing and trafficking illicit drugs. Cultivating and manufacturing illicit drugs is not only illegal, it's extremely dangerous. No Canadian wants to live next door to a grow-op. In fact, Surrey BC Fire Services conducted a study and found that a home with a grow-op is 24 times more likely to catch fire than a home without one. Even more troubling, these fires aren't always reported because nobody actually lives in those dwellings, but there are in fact families living right next door or across the street. We've also eliminated pardons for serious crimes and proposed legislation to address the victims of terrorism. Finally, we've proposed legislation to prevent the trafficking, abuse, and exploitation of vulnerable immigrants. In addition to all of the measures introduced as part of Bill C-10, we introduced the Fair and Efficient Criminal Trials Act. This is also known as the Mega Trials legislation, and it helps ensure that large and complex cases can be heard more swiftly and effectively. This bill received royal assent last June. Many of these mega trials center on drug trafficking, white-collar crime, terrorism, or organized crime. This legislation provides the tools to improve case management and streamline processes. It will allow prosecutors to better serve the victims of these crimes. It will save court time. and it will guarantee the defendant's rights to a speedy trial. The Standing Up for Victims of White-Collar Crime Act is another example of how our government listened and responded to the needs and asks of Canadians. We heard from the victims of large-scale frauds like the Norberg scandal, the Earl Jones case, and the Montreal scam. We heard from Canadians whose life savings or retirement savings were wiped out as a result of these scams, and we acted. There is now a mandatory minimum penalty of at least 2 years for fraud over $1 million. This legislation also requires the courts to consider restitution for victims of fraud. Our government has made progress in giving victims both a greater voice and greater access to services. Two pieces of legislation that came into force in recent months attest to our commitment. S6 eliminates the faint hope clause. It ensures that criminals who commit first-degree murder will no longer be eligible for early parole. They will serve the full 25 years of their sentence. This legislation will help ensure that the concerns of the families and loved ones of murder victims are taken into account within Canada's justice system, so that family members are no longer forced to repeatedly relive their tragic losses and recount the crimes and murders of their loved ones at every one of their offenders' parole hearings. And Bill C-48 ensures truth in sentencing. Those who commit more than one murder will face the possibility of serving parole ineligibility periods consecutively. The most fundamental priority of any government is the safety and security of its citizens. We are committed to standing up for the rights of victims, and we are delivering on that commitment. We have moved forward on legislation providing clear direction on the appropriate use of citizens' arrest. We are improving our efforts to fight terrorism and safeguard our national security. We have shown our commitment to supporting the well-being of our seniors with tougher penalties for elder abuse. Canadians want their communities to be safe places to live, raise their families, and do business. This government will continue to listen to you and to our other stakeholders. We will continue to implement policies that reflect what Canadians want. I'm confident that your discussions will further assist our government in building the country and the justice system that Canadians want. I hope you will enjoy the remainder of this informative and productive conference. Thank you very much.